In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To make everyone happy, how about some maths to start the day? For a moment, I want you to remember your maths and someone called John Venn, the one who devised the eponymous Venn diagram. You know the diagram, the one with overlapping circles. The circles helped to describe what was in, what was out, what belonged, what didn't, what was in union and what wasn't. What is less well known is that he was ordained at Ely in 1858. He was the son of a priest, who was also the son of a priest, that worked with the Clapham sect for the abolition of slavery and prison reform. His simplicity of thought and visual interpretation help us to consider the gospel for today. Jesus is faced with two completely different people within society. In the Venn diagram, it would be an empty set. These people wouldn't have met. They would have avoided one another. In the reading, one was male, named and respectable. The other one was female, unnamed and an outcast. By all accounts, they could never be part of the same social circle. It would be a bit like Donald Trump going to Greta Thunberg's birthday party in a private jet. It's simply not going to happen. Yet, out of faith, both are coming to Jesus. And that's a bit odd given how Jesus would be viewed by this time. Any Jew worth their salt knew that Jesus was now ritually unclean. He'd been driving out demons and working with pigs. And to add insult to injury, this has been going on all the time in a Gentile environment. But Jairus comes. Now he's like a church warden. Well, that is without all the modern day forms to fill in. And is probably nervous at approaching the Lord. Jairus passionately doesn't want to be unclean, but Jesus is his only hope. But just as he reaches Jesus, something terrible happens. A woman touches Jesus. Her hemorrhaging makes her an outcast. She's outside of society. She can't go to the temple. She's not to be touched. You can't sit in a chair she sat on. All her money has gone on cures. Her only hope is Jesus. As an aside, being a physician, Luke ignores the doctor bit in her story. To be honest, it's the last thing that Jairus needs. Jairus is probably annoyed, scared, frustrated, worried that she delays Jesus. After all, she's an outcast. Unlike him. But Jesus not only heals but gives wholeness, brings her back into society, calls her daughter, makes her have value again. And it's a challenge when we consider who might be our outcasts. Not just the corporate ones, but the more subtle ones we can all harbour from time to time. Because the example of the kingdom reaches across the gap to those who are outside. It should challenge us every time we reflect. Think of it like the Berlin Wall, one of the ultimate examples of division. If you were in East Germany, it was called the anti-fascisten Schutzmauer. Literally, the anti-fascist protection wall. It was seen in the East as to stop the West getting in, rather than the East getting out. It's an interesting alternative perspective. But in our own lives, we can also convince ourselves that there are people we don't like because dot, dot, dot. And we all fill that gap in different ways. And of course, we convince ourselves that our reasoning is correct. This dualistic thinking, who's in, who's out, is something that Jesus will have none of. In Jesus, all are welcome, from the top of society to the absolute bottom. After all, as William Temple put it, the church is the only institution that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members. Jesus establishes relationships with people. With people he should not, effectively making himself an outcast, but he identifies with everyone. We're called to do the same, and that includes the brokenness in ourselves, the bits we hide away, the bits in ourselves we'd rather avoid. Sometimes our lives, or those of those whom we love, may seem bad. And we may think we're simply not good enough. Jesus doesn't think so, and in faith he can make us well inside and out. Reconciliation is available in any part of our life, or indeed the lives of others. When we're forgiven unconditionally, we welcome others. The Christ light shines from within us. There's a radio station called WMUZ in Detroit that I still sometimes listen to and used to listen when I was over on business in Detroit. And it tells the story of a college with a very bad reputation. But there on the same street was a well-to-do church. One Sunday, a dishevelled student comes in from the college with the bad reputation. And even though there's spaces, the pews swell as he walks forward. So each pew he gets to fills up so there is no space for him. He carries on walking forward till the only space is to sit on the floor at the front, which is what he does. Now there's a fearsome church warden there who has a stick that he walks with. And people hear him clicking down the aisle. And everyone is pleased that he will tell this dishevelled student off and ask this dishevelled student to go out so that they can get on with their service. He clicks his way all to the front and then carefully lowers himself to the floor next to the student. And the priest at the front is looking down, wondering what he should do next. And the church warden just looks up and says, "Continue." Could we do the same with our personal and corporate outcasts? Today is new, unlike any other day, for God makes each day different. Today God's everyday grace falls on our souls like abundant seed, though we may hardly see it. Today is one of those days Jesus promised to be with us, a companion on our journeys. And our lives today, if we trust him, have consequences unseen. So perhaps today is the day to reach out our hands and touch, or be touched, by the love of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in
light up.